The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The care that this shepherd exercises on behalf of his sheep is unsurpassed. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Whereas danger normally gives rise to fear, the sheep of this shepherd's flock, those who listen to his voice and follow him and no other, fear not. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And why is it that his sheep live in such a state of peace and security? Is it their self-confidence that they, in the face of danger, possess enough cleverness and innovation or strength to overcome whatever evil might confront them, even death itself? No, not this at all. Their confidence is not based on anything within themselves. It is based solely on the fact that when they look up, when they look out, they see their good shepherd. And the fact that he is with them assures them that they are safe and secure. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It is right at this point in the 23rd Psalm that David breaks from the pastoral picture of a shepherd and his sheep that he has painted and that we have carefully followed and looked into during this season of Lent. Truth of the matter is, we've known all along that David wasn't really talking about sheep or shepherds, but about the people whom the Lord has made his own and how he provides for them and protects them as only this good shepherd can. What follows in this psalm from this point forward is a picture that simply does not fit the world of sheep and shepherding at all. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Frankly, sheep do not sit at tables, nor do shepherds anoint the head of their sheep. And obviously, sheep do not drink from cups overflowing. Here, David paints a picture that turns out not to be figurative at all. This is the picture of the believer who lives amongst a world in the middle of unbelievers and unbelief. David has real enemies. Some of them are of his own making. Some are his enemies simply because he is a believer and a follower of the God of Israel. But these enemies are very real. They're not figurative. They don't represent something else. It is while he is in the presence of his enemies that David's Lord does the most strange and unexpected thing for his believer. What we would naturally expect is that the Lord would destroy David's enemy, or at least arm David with helmet and armor and spear, just as Saul tried to do when David went out to meet the enemy Goliath. But no, the Lord prepares a table for David, right in the presence of his enemies. A table is a shorthand way of saying a meal, even a feast. And the anointing with oil and the overflowing cup suggests that this is no ordinary meal at all, but a very special and a very important feast. In the presence of his enemies, David is invited to sit down at a table which the Lord himself has prepared for him. In the presence of his enemies, David is invited to eat and to drink what his Lord has prepared for him. What could be stranger? What could be more contradictory to our self-sense of reason than this? But it is just such strangeness and such contradiction to our thoughts and our ways that throws us right into the strange and incomprehensible ways of our Lord. For this table that he sets with this food and this drink is the very means by which he defends his believer against his ever-present enemies. It is in this strange and mysterious way that our Lord protects his believers against all that threatens them and gives them the victory over their enemies. As David sees his enemies encircled about him, he also sees his Lord's presence and protection in a table and an anointing and in an overflowing cup. And it is based on these things, these seemingly powerless, most ordinary, most lowly things, that David is utterly confident and at peace and boasts of his safety and security in the face of all of his enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's Lord is our Lord, and our Lord is David's. For the Lord is one, and he never changes. As it was for David, so it was for all of the prophets and the people of the Old Testament who listened to the voice of the Lord and followed him. And so it was for the apostles and the people of the New Testament. And so it is for us, as long as we continue to listen to his voice and follow him and not another. On that night, when all of the forces of evil and every enemy of every believer was about to be unleashed in the fullness of its fury, Jesus set a table for his apostles. As all hell was about to break loose on him and consequently on them, his concern is that they eat and they drink from this table that he has set for them. It was not figuratively, but literally, while he was in the presence of his enemy, whose name was Judas, that David's Lord and our Lord took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." It is not for himself that he sets this table and gathers his apostles around it to eat and drink. It is for them. This is how he intends to defend them from his enemies and consequently theirs. By giving them this bread and this wine, he arms his beloved Christians with all that they need to withstand the enemy and even gain the victory. The power of the Christian to resist every enemy that surrounds us, whether it be the devil, the world, or our own sinful nature, is not to be found in screaming or yelling or arguing or scheming, nor is it to be found in the use of force. Our power against our enemies is in that food that we eat and that we drink from this table that our Lord has set for us. in a strange and mysterious way, the Lord Himself is physically present in the bread and the wine. And therefore, as we eat and drink this bread and this wine, He is physically present not only with us, but also in us. And with the almighty power that is His, He defends us against our enemies. Surrounded by enemies on every side, the believer who eats and drinks of this divine table is so confident and so bold in the face of whatever the threats may be, that like David, we boast, if God is for us, who can be against us? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. This kind of protection and care in the face of our enemies cannot come from what is only spiritual or figurative, meant only to remind us of something that happened 2 centuries ago. It must be real. It must be now. It must be the real presence of the Lord Himself. This is why we are to come to this table frequently, and why it is taken to those who are not able to come here. This is the basis for our security and our confidence in the presence of our enemies, and this is why our absence from this table for too long is so very dangerous to our well-being. The number and the power of the enemies that surround us may vary from believer to believer. Some are faced with enemies that seek to overcome us with physical pain. Others seek to lure us away from our Lord with pleasure and luxury. Others feel the force of evil at work against them in the scorn and the rejection that may come by publicly confessing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and that I belong to Him. For all of these enemies and whatever others may attack us, the Lord has prepared a table for you. There is one enemy, however, that we must all face, and that none of us may escape, and that is death. There is no greater comfort for the believer as death draws near than to eat and to drink this divine meal. For in eating this bread and drinking this cup, we receive within our very body the one who has overcome even death by giving His body into death and then rising again on the third day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.